Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. It's good for us to be here, be able to break forth the word of life, to get into, as James called, perfect law of liberty, and that is none other than the Word of God. So it's a blessing to be able to do just that. And before we get started here, good, I want to make sure that I give you the guest call-in number. That number is 646-716-6566. That is 646 716-6566. Again, we want to say we welcome you to Truth Ministry. It is a ministry that believes in the oneness of God, the ministry that believes that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. It is the ministry that believes in the apostles' doctrine, that is, the 12 that the Lord Himself chose. And Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in his second letter, the 5th chapter, and verse 19, he said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses, but He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, that's what we are endeavoring to do, is to commend people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is none other than the gospel of God, and none other than the gospel of the grace of God. Not only that, but the Apostle Paul called it my gospel. He called himself the prisoner of the Lord. So he was so dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God, that he said that the grace of God that was with him, that he was nothing but by the grace of God. And when he came to the Corinthian church, he said, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So that's what it's all about. It's in the Lord that we live and we move and we have our being. And that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, knowing that he was Jehovah in the Old Testament, and he's the Jesus in the New Testament. And that is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what we have been talking about here. We finished up week before last out of the Acts of the Apostles, and we ventured off into the book of the Romans, one of Paul's letters that was written during his visit to that city. It was written in, when he was visiting in Corinth. And this letter here, this epistle, had occasioned the intention of the apostle because he wanted them, he was getting ready to visit Rome. And so the theme of Romans, the gospel of God, the very widest possible designation of the whole body of redemption, truth, for it is he with whom it is no respecter of person, talking about the Lord, who is not the God of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. According as all the world is found guilty, and a redemption is revealed as wide as the need upon the alone condition of faith. Not only does Romans embody in the fullest way the doctrines of the grace and revelation and salvation, but there are three remarkable chapters, 9 through 11, the great promises to Israel are reconciled with promises concerning the Gentiles and the fulfillment of the former, shown to await the completion of the church and coming of the deliverer out of Zion. So we know the key phrase also, as Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans, when he was saying Romans 1 and 16, actually we can start at verse 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." So we know that he definitely had a burden, and the Lord had told him that he must go to Rome, and that he was going to go to Rome. There were things that hindered him. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So we know the gospel of Christ is the power of God. And therein, talking about the gospel, in Romans 1 and 17, "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So that is the key phrase, the righteousness of God. So the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we know we have to have his righteousness. We put on his righteousness. We put on Christ. We've been buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we will get to that particular quote that I just mentioned. That's found in the sixth chapter of Romans. So we know these epistles, Paul was, were attributed, there were 14 epistles that were attributed to the Apostle Paul, and they are known by Bible scholars as the Pauline epistles. And also, even Hebrews, some people don't want to say that he did write it, and sometimes we just say the Hebrew writer, but it doesn't matter. It's still, we have the epistles on record, and the epistles were written to the church. So we just came out of the Acts. The Acts tell you what you must do to be saved. They are the Acts of the Apostles. They are the Acts of the Holy Ghost working through the Apostles. And it's also, we know that the Acts of the Apostles is a continuation of the book of Luke, knowing that Luke himself was the writer of the Acts of the Apostles. So as we move on here, last week we talked about things here, here in the first chapter of Romans, about the wrath of God revealed under heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So we see here the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So we can see here. So even today, it is so prevalent in our world, homosexuality. And we can see when you read back in the book of Genesis, when the Lord had made a visit to Abraham and also two other men with him, and he went to Abraham and he went to Sarah, his wife, and said that he was going to return at the appointed time and made a promise unto them. That promise was Isaac. They were going to have a son. And Abraham was an old and well-stricken in age, and even his wife, Sarah, also. But the Lord made a promise unto them about seeing that he was going to make Abraham a great, a mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And he went on to say, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. And so, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? That was a question that he asked before Abraham began to intercede for, before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he started off asking if there be 50 righteous men. So he went on with this prayer that he would not destroy the city if he could find 10 righteous men in the city. And we know that it was not so. He wasn't able to find 10 there. And so we can see that's how it is today. We're living in a wicked world. So many prophecies that were written in the scriptures have come to pass and are coming to pass. And folks are calling right wrong and wrong right. And people are doing things that they consider to be right in their own eyes. And one of the things that is so trying to dumb us down, trying to dumb down this generation, and that is homosexuality. And God always has been against homosexuality. God made male and God made female. God made the man and God made the woman for the man. And so with a literal, it actually was an event that occurred that he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He burned it up. He burned it, those cities burned. And he only rescued Lot, Abraham Lot, and his sons and daughters. There's just a handful of people that the Lord got out of that place. And we know that. We can see the witness of that. And we read in the book of Peter, Bible talking about Lot, said that righteous man vexed his soul from day to day in seeing and hearing the conversation of the wicked. He said in the gate of the city. So nowadays they want to dumb us down with this thing. We can see, as he said, as the days of Lot, the things that people were doing, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, as like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, the days of Noah, the things that they were doing in those days, so shall it also be in when the coming of the Son of Man. So we can see these things are prevalent. And a generation ago, people would not have thought about trying to marry the same gender, because they knew that was illegal. They would have told you that was illegal procedures. There are certain procedures you got to go through even to marry somebody of the opposite sex, which you should marry. If you're a man, you should marry a woman. You're a male, you should marry a female. I think that's plain. But person has to be free for you to be able to marry them, even in the world. if a person married another person that already had a wife, they would be considering committing bigamy. And people have to be free also to be married, but you definitely cannot marry the same gender. So we can see how we have such wicked people in high places, in places like Washington, D.C., in places like San Francisco, and the state of California, and all of these, and some states have already legalized same-sex marriages, as they call it. But as far as God is concerned, you can do whatever you want. You can legalize whatever you want. But as far as God is concerned, you are not married. You're going to be judged for that. So this is what the Lord was the part of the reason why these things were addressed here in this book of Romans. So all these things, Bible said that they were being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, debate, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we're going to go on today, we're going to venture off into the second chapter of the book of Romans. And Apostle Paul is writing here, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Thinkest thou this, O man, that thou judgest, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? That's a question. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, and not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. For there is no respect of persons with God. And I think I just want to park my car here for a little while. So there are those nowadays, I don't know what they think God is. They can just cover up doing what they're doing, whether they be a leader and got a woman on the side and they have a wife of their own, and they're hiding this woman they got. And who do they think they're fooling? Because God, the Bible said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those that have a perfect heart toward him. God sees everything. He's everywhere, and he's every place. And we cannot hide from God. And that's why the writer wrote in the 139th Psalm, said, whither shall I go? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? So we can't get out of the presence of God. The light is the darkness is like light in God's presence. We cannot hide from God. And I think some people really think that they can hide what they're doing. But I got news for them. You think you can just do whatever you want and God doesn't know about it? You are sadly mistaken. Because you can fool some of the people some of the time, and those are the ones that you concentrate on. So he was saying in the 139th Psalm that, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain into it and unto it. And so the writer goes on to say, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall take hold upon me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So we can see here, we can't hide from God. So some people, and that's why I'm so glad about the word of God. When Jesus said that there is nothing hid that shall not be revealed. And so that's why the Bible tells us to look to ourselves, you know, letting us know there are many deceivers that are gone out into the world. And so even the world is going to be shocked. Some of them will be when some of these deceivers are going to be exposed, because you can't hide from God. God's going to pull the cover off. And sad to say, it might be when the Lord takes his church out of here, some of these folks that are in high places, that are in leadership positions, that have been hiding their little dirt, thinking they're getting away with it, and when they don't make the rapture of the church, or they're not going to be caught away with the church of God, they're going to be shocked. People are going to be wondering, like, why are you still here? Then they can go. They can go tell CNN, go tell some of these people that they missed the rapture of the church. They're going to really know what happened to them, because we can't hide God. We can't hide from the Lord. We can fool people. So Bible talks about deceivers. So there are folks out there, they don't really love God. Their God is their belly, whose glory is their shame. They don't mind heavenly things. They mind earthly things. So they're going to be exposed. So what we got to do, we got to come clean. We got to walk with God. And we got to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So what we have to do, so there was a question that was asked, and the answer to that question that was asked is in the word of the Lord. And this particular question is a question that can apply to us today. And that is, it's only five verses, and it's found in the book of Psalms, the 15th chapter. And the writer asked the question, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that biteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, and whose eyes a vile person is condemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth not to his own hurt, and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. So we got to have that. So we have to. So the question he was asking, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And then he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. There are some people, like I say, when God pulls the cover off, they can control people not talking. And so that's foolishness. Even people in the world know when things aren't right. So we're going to walk with God. We want to be saved. We should be saved, not trying to hide stuff. You are a deceiver. You're fooling your own self, matter of fact, when you do these things. So this particular book was written, and that is what the letters of the church do. They show us where we are. They show us where we got to come up to. They expose us. And even here in this same scripture here, as we'll read a little later, he goes on to say, you say don't commit adultery? He said, do you commit adultery? So it's not no, do as I say do, don't do as I do. No, there is no respect of persons with God. So we got to fear him and work righteousness with God to be accepted with him. So the main point that he is writing to let us know here, as some would say, as even as some would say, when we read in the 23rd Psalm, David talking and saying that the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd is never speaking in that psalm, but that is everything is talking about the sheep in that psalm. So that David makes the statement, the Lord is my shepherd, and somebody said, David, he is my shepherd too, because he is the shepherd of the sheep, and we know that he said that in the 10th chapter of St. John. I'm the shepherd of the sheep, and my sheep know me, and they know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. So this is what we have to work on, to work with, and to walk by, is the word of the Lord. And that's the only thing going to work. That's why the writer said, buy the truth and sell it not. So this is what this broadcast is all about, is the truth. And we know that the Bible say that study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2 and 15. So this is the truth when it's rightly divided. So you only have one soul, so you got to take heed to save yourself, like Peter said, to save yourself from this untoward generation. So they, here in the second chapter of Romans, as we're reading on, there's no respect of persons with God. Verse 11, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. And so he goes on, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these have not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law, written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. This is, I made mention earlier, that the Apostle Paul calls this my gospel. So also, you know, in the intro, when I say that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So then if I was to fast forward a little bit, people don't, because what is so important in this day and time is the righteousness of the law. You know, we know the Bible lets us know, and even in the book of Galatians, for by the law shall no flesh be justified. We couldn't keep the law. But now, we have the Holy Ghost in us. The Bible lets us know in Romans, the 8th chapter, in the 2nd verse, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That was the law that was done away with. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Here it is, Romans 8 and 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. He goes on to say, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So this is what this is all about. And so we are not saved by the law, but we are saved by the righteousness of God. And so when God looks at us, this is what he sees, is his righteousness. So that's why the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are saved by grace through faith, but we have also something to do because we are saved by grace through faith. So after we are saved doesn't mean that we don't have anything to worry about. We don't have to fight. But Apostle Paul was saying, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hands on eternal life. And when he wrote his letter, his second letter to Timothy, and he let him know, it was a letter of death, that I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he went on to let him know there's a crown laid up for me, a crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. And he went on to let him know, not only me, that he's going to give this crown of righteousness, but he's going to give this crown of righteousness to all of them that love his appearing. And so this is what this is written about. So you can't just pick this up and start reading this and quoting this letter that was written to the church. This is the children's bread. And this is letting us know where we are and where we should be. And so important, even here in the book of Romans, the Bible says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Romans 11 and 29. What that is saying is God called Israel, because in Romans 9, 10, and 11, it's letting us know. He didn't change his mind. He called Israel, and he's not going to repent, or he's not going to change his mind about Israel. He gave Israel the oracles of God, and they're going to be, were grafted in, but he didn't change his mind about them, and so all Israel is going to be saved, as he said, but the 144,000, as we say, so it's going to be the remnant, is what it's called, out of the 12 tribes of Israel. So he names out all the tribes, and it's equivalent to 144,000. And that's what that is talking about. So verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and maketh thy boast of God, knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of the knowledge and of the truth of the law. Thou therefore which teaches another, teaches thou not thyself? It's a question he's saying. Thou that preachest a man should not steal? Question, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery? Dost thou commit adultery? Question. Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit scartilage? Thou that maketh thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Question he's asking. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth thou transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So we can see God is not looking at the flesh, but the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You hear the gospel, your heart is pierced. Your heart is circumcised. So he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, your heart and spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So he goes on to say here, what advantage then hath the Jew? A question. What profit is there of circumcision? Much everywhere, chiefly because that under them were committed the oracles of God. That's what I had forementioned. God gave the Jews the oracles of God. He chose them. And folks don't like that the children of Israel were the chosen of God. This is God's doing. But God abhorred them because of things that they were doing, but he's going to bring them back. So, one thing about a Jew, they know that there is only one God. They got a revelation of that. Their only problem is they did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why Apostle Paul was saying, when he was talking about wisdom in the book of Corinthians, said, which none of the princes of this world knew, had they known it, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. So these people, they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. That's why we say that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not of them that were born of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, of man, but of the will of God. And so this is why the Lord turned to the Gentiles. Now, we know initially on the day of Pentecost, there are men, devout men, the Bible said, from every nation under heaven. But the Jews as a whole, the Jewish nation, did not accept Jesus. They're going to accept him. They're going to realize that they crucified the Lord. When they see those wounds in his hands and in his feet, and they're going to realize. The question is going to be asked, when did you receive those? And the Lord is going to let them reply to them. And it's in the book of Zechariah, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Now, we know, when you know biblical history, the Romans would crucify you. The Jews would stone you. So this is why that woman that was bought was in adultery, I believe, in the 8th chapter of St. John. They were saying, you know what the law says about someone being caught in adultery, they would stone them to death. But there was only one problem with those Pharisees bringing that woman to Jesus who was caught in adultery. They didn't bring the man. You can't commit adultery by yourself, but it had to be a man who also was with that woman. So this is why the Lord let her know. He asked a question when he began to write in the ground, on the ground. They believe it was out of the book of Leviticus about thou shalt not commit adultery. But anyway, their conscience condemned them all. They began all to leave away from that scene. And Jesus asked the woman a question. Where are thine accusers? And so he said, there was no man, Lord, is what she said. So he said, neither do I accuse thee. And his reply was to the woman. He told her to go and sin no more. That would have been unjust, to stone her to death and not stone the man too. So we can see the righteousness of God, even there, of the Lord himself. So as we read on here, we're talking about in the third chapter here that the Jew, they don't have an advantage, is what Apostle Paul is saying here. Much every way, chiefly because that under them was committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? So their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? He asked the question here, and he goes on to say, God forbid, yea, let God be true. But every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? Who taketh vengeance? Apostle Paul says, I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And I recall one time during Jesus' earthly ministry, someone walked up to him and said that he was a good master. And he was saying, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. So you got to understand, this quote was I believe it was out of the 14th Psalm. And there's another Psalm also in the book of Isaiah. There's none good but God. So we can see the Bible said that he humbled himself, talking about Jesus, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So we can see that he humbled himself, he clothed himself, and came into this world as a man. The Spirit of God is still the Spirit of God. The divine essence of God is spirit. And that's why Jesus himself in St. John 4:24 said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So John got the revelation. We can see that Matthew wrote to the Jews, and Mark and Luke wrote about Jesus as the Son of Man and the Son of God. But John, the writer, wrote about him as a divine God. And he also wrote St. John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and the 3rd epistle of John. And he also wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ because he knew who he was. And so that's why in the beginning God, in Genesis 1:1, is a divine testimony. In the beginning God. There was nobody on the witness stand but God himself. So this is why John picked it up when he wrote in St. John, the first chapter, and the first verse, in the beginning was the Word, or the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's the same God back in the beginning, even in the New Testament church, the same God, but it's He is in the person of Jesus Christ. This is why you got to believe the gospel of God, the gospel of the grace of God. And this is why the Apostle Paul, we talked about that when we were going through the Acts of the Apostles and the 20th chapter, when he was saying, take heed unto yourself to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So we know that God took on flesh and became a man. And that's why the writer said that if you believe in the Son, you have life. You believe not the Son, you don't have life. So, First John, the 5th chapter, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. 1 John 5:12. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So we know that this life is in the Son of God. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So this is why Jesus comes in the picture. And for those of you that might can pick it up, that Jesus is actually eternal, but the Son of God is not eternal. But the Son of God was given for a purpose. That is, that he was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we can see, when you read in the last chapter of Revelation, he said, I, Jesus, send my angel to testify these things. I am the root of and the offspring of David. I am the bright and the morning star. So he sent his angel to testify these things. And what he's saying here is he said, surely I come quickly. So we see right here, and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we read in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, and all these things that have been written here. He said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this, of the prophecy of this book. So, and here in the 12th verse in Revelation 22, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 16, Revelation 22, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the church, in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And so in verse 20, he said, surely I come quickly. So this is Jesus. And so we know that the Lord, when you know about the Lord and you read about the Lord and you read especially the prophet Isaiah, who was called the eagle-eyed prophet, the Lord said, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. In Isaiah 46, 9, 10, and 11, declaring the end from the beginning in ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So there is only one God. God said, I don't know of any. He knows everything. He's the omnipresent spirit. He's the omnipotent God who has all power. He's the omniscient God who knows all things. He doesn't know about another God because there is no other God. For Jesus is the one. And this is why we have to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's all the God you're going to see. In the 14th chapter of St. John, he was saying, in my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So we know Thomas here said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? Question. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Verse 7. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us, or it will satisfy us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Also, what he was saying, when he said, I'm in the Father, you know the Father is the Spirit, there's only one Spirit. The Father, when he said, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, what he was saying is I'm in the Spirit and the Spirit is in me. So, this is why he got up, just like he said that he would. Everything that was prophesied about him, that he was wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah said. He, Jesus, was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. Writer goes on to say, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You know, he was stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. So we know that he, so the arm of the Lord being revealed, about him growing up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. We should see him, there should no beauty we desire. He hath no form or comeliness. So we know that is talking about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what you got to know, that it's in him we live, it's in him we move, it's in him we have our being, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the Apostle Paul said that there is one Lord, Ephesians 4 and 5, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, who is through us all, he is in us all. And so that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we know, I know that there's folks out there, they believing in men. They're believing in certain prophets. But you don't, the prophet Isaiah was not magnified above the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he was talking about. And the psalmist that had written about Jesus, the psalm writer, was not magnified above the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who they were writing about. Neither the prophet Jeremiah, who wrote about the Lord also. He was not magnified above the Lord who he was writing about. This is why Jesus was saying, all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law, which were written in the Psalms, which were written in the prophets, and which were written in the law of Moses concerning me. When he wrote there in the 24th chapter of Luke on the road to Emmaus, and he was saying, all things, these are the things that are written unto you. And he was saying that they had to be fulfilled, that were written in the law and the Psalms and the prophets concerning him. And he opened their understanding concerning the scriptures. And the most important thing, he went on to say, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. What name? The name of Jesus. Just like we explained to you in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the fourth chapter and the 12th verse, when they said, the writer said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We can see in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, in the second chapter, in the third and fourth chapter, in the seventh chapter, in the eighth chapter, in the ninth chapter, in the tenth chapter, in the 19th chapter. We can just see so many times what is magnified there, and that is the salvation of God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we are teaching and preaching about. And this is what this letter here that we were talking about, written to the church at Rome, as Apostle Paul wanted to go there and letting them know that we're not better, that the Jews are not better than the Gentiles, and there's none righteous, no, not one. And verse 11, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God, as we were saying here. And they're all gone away. They're altogether becoming unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throats are open sepulcher. Their throats, with their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know what things soever the law saith. It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So even we know that when God gave the commandment to Adam about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it, you don't touch it, for the day that you eat it thereof, you shall surely die. We know the devil who was in that serpent who came to Eve and told that lie, that you shall not surely die. So we know that Adam was there. Adam received the commandment, and the Bible said that Eve was not deceived, but Adam was willfully disobeyed God when the woman saw that the tree was good, and she took and did eat and gave also unto her husband. They both did eat. So she was deceived, but he was not. He willfully obeyed the commandment of God. And that commandment was, don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of it, you shall surely die. So we can see here, this is why the law, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So that's how he knew that was wrong, because God told him, don't do it. But now as the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. So the next verse, we know our time is almost gone, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so this is one of the scriptures in the Bible letting us know this is everyone is included here. No one is excluded. For all have sinned and come short of the knowledge of all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption of Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. This is what we're trying to say. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Circumcision the Jews, the Gentiles uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We're going to leave off right there. We know our time is just about gone for this day, but we thank God. So we want to let you know that this book of Romans was written to the church. Like we say, these epistles were written to the churches. And these things that folks that have been born again to read these letters. Can no one just pick this up and just confess the Lord? You can't do that. You got to be born again. You got to take on the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin by baptism in the name of Jesus. This is what you have to do to be saved. So we thank God for his word, his goodness unto us this day, and we hope that you have been blessed by the word of the Lord. That is, you've got to be saved through water baptism, repentance, and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved, the only name that heaven recognizes. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this brought this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preach unto the Gentiles, believe on in the world, received up into glory. Let me read that again. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believe on in the world, received up into glory.